Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Kevin.
Two creatives who've recently placed creativity at the center of our lives, and this is the Time is Right podcast.
So today I wanted to talk a little bit about why I think it's important to find a supportive community for your creativity.
And that's definitely important because it's really, really, it's not impossible, but it's hard when you're just trying to work solely on your own.
Well, and we talked about that last time about the creator in isolation and how being isolated really isn't conducive to creativity,
exactly,
at least not long term. You need your moments. I think most creators actually kind of feed off of other people and interacting with other people who share their ideas and their passions. So one of the things that I found early when I really became serious about writing was finding my tribe, as they say. And actually, one of the ways I did that was by attending a conference. And it wasn't like a fan conference. It's not like Comic-Con or something like that, where there were a lot of fans. This was actually one that was pretty much focused on writing. It was actually the World Fantasy Convention.
And
it was great, though, because when I was there, I was surrounded by other people who just wanted to write and who were writing. And all the topics of discussion were around fantasy fiction. So for 4 days, that's pretty much all we talked about. There were some digs at the current administration at the time. But beyond that, it was really just focused on creating fiction and so forth. And so that's when I realized, okay, these are the people I really want to spend a lot more time with. And that's where I guess I started to find a tribe, a group of people. And I've managed to keep in touch with three or four people from that conference. And I probably have another half dozen that I irregularly contact through channels like Twitter or something like that. But
And
it kind of goes to actually the first kind of point I wanted to bring up was just by being surrounded by somebody that's sharing the thing you're excited about gives you energy, and it will inspire you.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, this composer journey that I went on actually started with COVID and lockdown, or shortly beforehand. So, you know, I was just getting my feet under me when all of a sudden now we're all locked down. So since then, everything on the composer side has pretty much gone online. And it's a different kind of thing. Composers generally write for musicians, and so there's a sort of a duality with that where you will either hang out with musicians or hang out with other composers or both, and those communities can be very different. But I'm actually really looking forward to finding that once, that stuff starts coming back outside again, which hopefully fairly soon.
Right. And I, on the writing side too, I mean, all of the conferences and everything have gone virtual and are remaining virtual at least through the first half of this year. So I don't know that I'll actually get to be in person with other people until probably next year sometime.
Yeah.
But still, even in the virtual sense, it's been good. I continued to attend other conferences. So conferences is just one way of finding some of that community. And there are conferences for just about everything, any interest that you might have. I don't know if there's a knitting conference, but there probably is. There's certainly probably going to be some place where you're buying needles and yarn.
That is a thing. Where I live in Western Massachusetts, there are definitely, quilting is a big thing. And there are quilt shops, and there are classes, and there are groups that meet. And absolutely a place to find community of folks doing that. And there's sort of an image that might come to mind, which it's definitely not what you might think. It's all ages, all genders, doing that kind of stuff. Again, I think it's true for most things. I mean, people who are into restoring cars, there's several times a year, in my town even, and elsewhere, they'll get together on the town common and exchange ideas and show off each other's cars and do all that stuff as well. So it's a definite communities. And I think that just sort of underscores, though, that each type of activity may have the communities for that may look very different from each other.
Right.
We'll dispense advice. Right. Point out that we can speak from our experiences, but every endeavor has its own kind of thing about it.
Right. You mentioned the car restoration. Parts swap meets are a big way for that community to get together. So, yeah, the actual form that a community may take is going to be a little different. And I wanted to kind of touch back on the why a little bit more, too. So we talked about being inspired. But the other thing that goes along with that is actually learning something new. You can sit and you can watch YouTube videos or whatever, and you can learn things that way. But there's nothing really like talking with somebody who's actually done the thing that you want to do.
True.
One of the questions I had at probably the second big conference that I went to was I was starting a small press and I wanted to know kind of what that was like. And actually, one of the people I met at the first conference was there at the second one, and he was running a small press. So I was able to pick his brain for 10, 15 minutes. And I think that's, some people call it networking or whatever, but it's just having a conversation, again, around that thing that you're both really energized about and sharing the ideas and sharing maybe new methods or tips on something or just experience. And I think that's invaluable to kind of get that in that community setting.
I'm finding a lot of that, again, not so much in person, but online, definitely. And it takes different forms. I find Facebook groups, in my line of work, I'm finding a more in forums, good old-fashioned message forums, which a lot of spaces don't really use those anymore, but they seem to be fairly common in composing. There's other musician-type forums and communities as well, and they often segregate into genre, but there's a lot of that out there, so there's a lot to find. But yeah, forums, Reddits, Tumblrs even, the groups on Facebook, which, you know, they range in quality, as you can imagine.
Yes. Although I have found that my experience on Facebook at this point is strictly just participating in groups, because the groups don't exist elsewhere that I'm particularly interested in, so I have to go there to be part of it. But that's about all I'm doing there.
And the other thing I've noticed is that there's kind of two kinds of groups, especially on Facebook. They tend to segment. For example, I find a lot of groups that are focused heavily on technology and talking about the technology and the process and the nuts and bolts of doing this. And some that are about actual, you know, writing of music and arranging orchestras. And that's another part of it. And then some are just devolve into arguments over who's better, John Williams or Hans Zimmer. So that's a different thing entirely. But anyway.
There's science fiction and fantasy reader groups and things, but I find that those are, they're all just a setup for some big argument over, same kind of thing. Who's better, Raymond Feist, Brandon Sanderson, or Robert Jordan, right? I mean, it's like, hey, you know, other people read books, but they're not interested, so... So I stick with kind of the groups that I'm in Facebook are actually some of the more professional development type of things. The people who are working in publishing and not so much writing groups, but people who are doing the publishing, the marketing, the press type side of things. And that's been helpful. And that's a good community. I'm in one group that's called Wide for the Win that advocates not just putting your books on Amazon Kindle Unlimited, so where you can never sell a book anywhere else. It's exclusive. Yeah. So the Wide for the Win is like, okay, how do we do this though? Because all the advice that you hear is about how to get the maximum out of Amazon, and we're now trying to do something else. And so this has been a good professional group. And the thing that I really like about it is that they're really encouraging. Like, I just saw today somebody posted something about they got their first royalty check from, I don't know what it was, maybe Kobo, for a book they sold in Germany or something. And everybody was yay, congratulations. And, you know, it was very encouraging. And so I think that's the big thing about when you're trying to find your community is you want to find one that's like that, that is going to be encouraging, that's not full of spiteful, vengeful people who are upset because something didn't work out right for them, and they're taking it out on everybody else. And it takes, I wanted to mention that, it takes some trial and error. You sometimes do have to try different communities before you find the one that you feel comfortable in. And then I think we talked about where to find these groups. And but I also wanted to mention the in-person. And sometimes finding the in-person groups, hopefully we'll be able to do them shortly. And I have found that meetup.org is actually a good way to find some very specific groups and interests in your local area. And I've been a little hit or miss as to whether those groups in my area are the ones I'm looking for. But it is a vast resource, and it depends on your you live in the country as to the the quality of those groups and the number of them. But yeah, so craft fairs, conventions, and something like meetup.org, you can find groups that meet once a week or once a month or whatever on just about any topic.
There's a group around here it's a group for people who attend chamber music concerts. And they get together and they go to concerts. And that's great. But that it's been tough finding that. But again, it's a different kind of thing. And I imagine, again, depending on the type of activity you're in, when you can get together or how you can get together, it may vary greatly depending on how hands-on your meetup is going to be. You know, if you're doing pottery, throwing pots on wheels, you obviously, it's hard to meet up with other people doing that just anywhere, unless meeting to talk about it.
Right. There has to be a studio or something that you could go to. And sometimes there are places like that. Yeah. And again, like I said, the geography can make a big difference, because I was talking with a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, and she was talking about how many open mic nights there are for poetry. You know, I mean, it's just everywhere. But when I checked here where I live, there were three groups, but they were all basically dead. nobody was actually active.
You got to start one, man.
I mean, that's always the option, right? For any of these communities, whether it's online or in person, is if you can't find what you're looking for, you can try to start one. And the advantage to that is you can construct it the way it serves you best. And I also want to talk about how you might need more than one community. Sure. So, you know, I mentioned that there's one for professional development for my profession, but there's others that are more focused around the creativity that I do. And so for a writer, that's something typically is a critique group or some sort of writing group where you get together and you write and you read each other's work and you offer feedback. And that is actually a community I have never actually been able to find. I have found it temporarily through workshops, and I have managed to keep a few of those connections alive outside, but we've never been able to kind of commit to a regular writing group. And I just haven't found one that works for me. I've tried some different ones online, but never found one. So I'm still exploring that. I'm still trying to find it, but it is something that I need actually for my creativity endeavors. So anyway, I think one of the bigger kind of general writing support groups is actually the NaNoWriMo organization.
That's a National Novel Writing Month, right?
Correct. Yep. Every November. But they do stuff throughout the year. Like, I think April is Camp NaNoWriMo, and maybe again in July or something like that. Anyway, that's where really you can get a lot of support if you're writing from people all over the world. They have local groups, but you don't have to be part of a local group. In fact, during COVID, my local group here welcomed in other people who didn't have local groups, and so they became part of our group. So again, the online world, and that was actually all done through Discord, really? Which I find quite interesting. And yeah, because there's, you can have these bots and things that do stuff like the write-ins, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But the idea, though, is that it is very open, very welcoming, and it is global because it's kind of an event.
Yeah, right.
A lot of it keeps going throughout the year. I do check in with my local group once in a while. Again, it's online, but we keep in touch a little bit throughout the year. But one of the other groups that's been kind of useful, and I think this can apply to almost any creative endeavor, which is kind of a co-creating time and space. And it could be facilitated through something like a Discord or Zoom or whatever. The Science Fiction Writers of America does this Sunday writing date where an author will basically kind of come in and host a 2-hour session of getting together and write. And it's open to anybody. You don't have to be a member. And you can just sit there and watch other people write and write yourself. But it's a way of kind of bonding and just kind of being together in community when you're not actually able to get together. Yeah. And again, we're not really talking about our work. We spend a couple of minutes saying what we hope to do in the next 2 hours or whatever. But it's just a way to kind of stay in touch with other people who are doing the same thing you are, and there's a little bit of peer pressure to do it during those 2 hours because you're doing it with them.
Yeah, there's a similar thing, February Album Writing Month, or FAUM. Mm-hmm. It's not as well known and not as active, I think, as NaNoWriMo, but it's the same idea to spew out an album's worth of stuff in the month of February. So yeah, not only do they have you make a new album worth of stuff, you have to do it in a shortest month of the year. So, thanks.
Well, that's the thing that always got me too about NaNoWriMo, is because they do it in November, and right, there's at least 4 days there that nobody's really focused on writing.
So. Yeah, there's that. Yeah. At least not in the States, right?
Right.
Oh, man. But yeah, actually, but FAUM is one of my goals for 2022. So 2021's obviously gone by already. But yeah, I'm hoping to participate in 22. Maybe I'll do an EP at least.
Right. And at least, again, the community, that group, they're all kind of trying to do the same thing in the same time period. And it should be supportive and help you stay on track. Mm-hmm. Accountability buddies is another thing that I hear a lot about for artists as well. And I know a lot of artists are also just kind of doing kind of a morning check-in where they check in with a group of other artists and they either talk about what they're going to do or they do a little bit of it for an hour or whatever, again, through something like Zoom or Discord. And that kind of accountability helps you stay on track with whatever project you're working on.
Okay, I think it's time for our resources segment.
All right. Did you want to go first?
No, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I usually go first. You can go first.
All right. So I'll focus a little bit on somebody that might be a beginning writer, the person who wants to write, even if they don't necessarily want to publish. I've got an author who's written a couple of books that really moved me from thinking about writing to actually writing. Her name's Natalie Goldberg, and she wrote Writing Down the Bones and also Wild Mind. They were really helpful in kind of getting me started and getting me to be a little less self-conscious. Mm-hmm. She's a big proponent of write fast, write dirty, just get it out there. And those books have been in print for, God, almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
And it's because people keep referring back to them. So that's Writing Down the Bones and Wild Mind by Natalie Goldberg.
Cool. Good stuff. The one I want to talk about is something I use quite frequently, and you've probably seen it in my Instagram feed. It's called Oblique Strategies, and it was developed by composer and producer Brian Eno, along with multimedia artist Peter Schmidt. And what it is a deck of cards with a prompt on each card. And the prompt can be very specific or it can be very vague. And it's not a prompt about music per se. It's a prompt about creativity. And that's what I like about it. The idea is that if you're stuck or just trying to think through something or whatever, just draw a card. And it isn't going to be prescriptive. It's ideally going to prompt you to think about something in a slightly different way. And sometimes it's utterly useless. So, for example, I just tried one and I pulled out abandon normal instruments. And you could take that any number of different ways, depending on what you're doing. You know, if you're a musician, it's kind of obvious. Well, let's see, I've got my bass, my guitar, my keyboards. Maybe I should pull out something completely different and try that.
Bring out the
zither. But it can extend. I mean, for example, a painter may say, well, wait a minute, let's just put down the brush and use the knife for a while. Things like that. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. No, totally.
I find it fascinating because it always, and again, it'll either at least make me laugh if it's totally absurd. Like children's voices singing. Right. It's great for some creepy movies. Anyway, so it's available as a deck of cards, but it's kind of expensive to find it that way. And it's super cheap just as a iOS app. So there's an iPhone app for this. So it's Oblique Strategies, originally created by Brian Eno back in, in the 70s. It's been around for a long time. But I find them really cool and very useful creative prompts.
That's really interesting.
Okay, and that's our show. Thank you for joining us on the Time is Right podcast, where we talk about all things creativity. And who are we, in fact, to talk about creativity? Well, I'm John Davis. I'm a musician and a composer. You can find my work on my Bandcamp. It's probably the easiest way to find me. It's jdsampo.bandcamp.com. Or you can find me on the socials. Instagram is the best one. You can find me there is at jdsampo. And I just fired up my Twitter account. So I'm at JD Sampo there as well. I don't know if I'll keep tweeting, but I just...
You can lurk.
I can lurk. I found out it was my 12th year Twitter anniversary today. So I realized I had about as many tweets as years on Twitter. I'll start using that a little bit. Anyway...
And I'm Kevin Fellows. I'm a writer of fantasy fiction. You can find me at kevinjfellows.com. And you can engage with me through online communities such as Instagram and Twitter, where I'm at Kevin J. Fellows. And I'm also going to start up a creators group on Discord. So if you want to hit me up on one of those platforms, I'll let you in.
Cool. Do I get an invite?
Of course. Well, actually, you're already in.
Oh, that's right.
Although I might move it to a different server, but yes, you'll be there.
Okay, thank you. I was hoping you'd let me in. I'm part of the in crowd. Okay, enough of that nonsense. All right. So join us twice a month. We'll be ongoing. We're just getting started here. We're in episode 4. If you like us, or even if you don't, drop us a review. Give us a couple stars. Give us 5 if you can. Really helps us get up there.
Please spare us 5 stars.
Please spare us 5 stars. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for 5 stars today.
They're cheaper than a hamburger.
Anyway, join us twice a month and we will share what we've learned about the importance of living a creative life. Again, where the price is right. Stop it.
Okay.
It's free.
Oh, okay.
It's the Time is Right podcast. Bye for now.
Bye for now.